जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी। यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी। यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी। यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय कृष्ण बलराम Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Lalita Vishaka Jaya Radhesham, Lalita Vishaka Jaya Radhesham. Jaya Radha Shama Sundara Radha Shama Sundara Radhe. Jai Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai go Haribo, 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 Nitai go Haribo. Srila Prabhupada ki. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarane Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva narottamam Devim Saraswatim vyasam Tadojayam adirayet Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavad-uttama shloke Bhaktir-bhavati-naishtake. So reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 27, Text 3 and 4. I'll read text 3 and we'll do 4 together. Drishta Shrutanu Bhavosya Krishnas Yamita Tejasa Nastatri Lokeshmada Idam Aha Kritanjali. Indra had now heard of and seen the transcendental power of the omnipotent Krishna, and his false pride in being the Lord of the three worlds was thus defeated. Holding his hands together in supplication, he addressed the Lord as follows. Text number 4. The title of the chapter is Indra and Sarabi Offer Prayers. Indra Uvacha. Vishuddha sattvam tava dhamma shantam. Tapomayam dvasta rajastamaskam. Mayo mayo yang guna sampravaho. Navidyate te grahanu bandha. Indra vacha Vishuddha sattvam tava dhamma shantam. Tapomayam dvasta rajastamaskam. Maya mayo yang guna sampravaho. Navidyate te grahananu bandhanaha. Indra vacha Vishuddha sattvam tava dhamma shantam. Tapomayam dvasta rajastamaskam. Maya mayo yang guna sampravaho. Navidyate te grahananu bandha. Matajis. Indra uvacha. Indra said, Vishuddha sattvam, manifesting transcendental goodness. Tava, your. Dhamma, form. Shantam, changeless. Tapamayam, full of knowledge. Dvasta, destroyed. Raja, the mode of passion. Tamaskam, and the mode of ignorance. Maya Maya, based on illusion. I am this guna of the modes of material nature. Sampravaha, the great flux. Navidyate is not present. Te, within you. Agrahana, ignorance. Anubandha, which is due to. Translation, purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. King Indra said, your transcendental form, a manifestation of pure goodness, is undisturbed by change, shining with knowledge, and devoid of passion and ignorance. In you does not exist the mighty flow of the modes of material nature, which is based on illusion and ignorance. Responsively, King Indra said, your transcendental form, a manifestation of pure goodness, is undisturbed by change, shining with knowledge, and devoid of passion and ignorance. In you does not exist the mighty flow of the modes of material nature, which is based on illusion and ignorance. Purport. The great Bhagavatam commentator Srila Sridhar Swami has masterfully explained the Sanskrit elements of this profound verse. The Sanskrit word Dhamma has several meanings. A, dwelling place, house, abode, and so on. B, a favorite thing or person, delight or pleasure. C, form or appearance. D, power, strength, majesty, glory, splendor, or light. Concerning the first set of meanings, the Vedanta Sutra states that the Absolute Truth is the source and resting place of all existence. And in the first verse of the Bhagavatam, that Absolute Truth is said to be Krishna. Although Lord Krishna exists in his own Dhamma, or abode, called Krishna Loka, he himself is the abode of all existence, as Arjuna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita, where he addresses Krishna as Parang Dhamma, the supreme abode. The very name Krishna indicates the all-attractive person. Thus, Lord Krishna, the source of all beauty and pleasure, is certainly the favorite thing or person, delight and pleasure. Ultimately, these terms can refer only to Krishna. Dhamma also refers to form or appearance. And as Indra offered these prayers, he was in fact directly seeing the form of Krishna before him. As clearly explained in the Vedic literature, Lord Krishna's power, strength, majesty, splendor, and effulgence are all contained within his transcendental body and thus attest to the infinite glories of the Lord. Srila Sridhar Swami has brilliantly summarized all these meanings of the word Dhamma by giving the Sanskrit term Swarupa as a synonym. The word Swarupa means one's own form or shape, and also one's own condition, character, or nature. Since Lord Krishna, being pure spirit, is non-different from his body, there's absolutely no difference between the Lord and his visible form. By contrast, in this material world, we conditioned souls are all distinctly different from our bodies. Whether those bodies are male, female, black, white, or whatever, All of us are eternal souls, different from our temporary, flimsy bodies. When the word Swarup is applied to us, it especially indicates our spiritual form, because our own form is in fact our own condition, character, or nature, eternally. Thus, the liberated condition in which one's outward form is one's deepest spiritual nature is called Swarup. Primarily, however, this term refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This is all indicated in this verse by the words Tava Dham, as explained by Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami has explained that here the word Shantam means always in the same form. Shantam can also mean undisturbed, free from passion, or purified. According to Vedic philosophy, all change in this world is caused by the influence of passion and ignorance. The passionate mode is creative, and the ignorant mode is destructive, whereas the mode of goodness, sattva, is serene, is sustaining. In many ways, this verse emphasizes that Lord Krishna is free from the modes of nature. The words Vishuddha Sattvam, Shantam, Dvasta Rajas, Tamaskam, and Guna Sampravaho Navidyate, Te, all indicate this. Unlike Krishna, we change from one body to another because of our involvement with the modes of nature. The various transformations of material forms are impelled by the modes of nature, which are themselves set in motion by the influence of time. Therefore, one who is free from the material modes of nature is changeless and eternally satisfied in blissful spiritual existence. Thus, the word Shantam indicates that the Lord is undisturbed by change, since he is free from the material modes of nature. According to this verse, the powerful flow of the material modes of nature, namely passion, stupidity, and mundane piety, are based on agrahana, which Srila Sridhar Swami has translated as ignorance. Since the Sanskrit root graha means to take, to or accept, grasp, or comprehend, grahana means grasp, exactly in the sense of to grasp an idea or fact. Therefore, agrahana here means one's failure to understand one's spiritual position. And this failure causes one to fall into the violent currents of material existence. An additional meaning of the word agrahana is derived when it is divided into the compound agrahana. Agra means the first, top, or best, and hana means killing. The best part of our existence is the pure soul, which is eternal. In contradistinction to the temporary material body and mind. Thus, one who chooses material existence over Krishna consciousness is in fact killing the best part of himself, the soul, which in its pure state can enjoy Krishna consciousness unlimitedly. Srila Sridhar Swami has translated tapomayam as full of knowledge. The word tapas, generally indicating austerity, is derived from the Sanskrit verb tap, whose meaning can be summarized as indicating the various functions of the sun. Tap means to burn, to shine, to heat, and so on. Supreme Lord is eternally perfect, and therefore here, tapomayam does not indicate that his transcendental body is meant for austerities, since austerities are performed by conditioned souls to purify themselves or to acquire a particular power. An omnipotent, perfect being neither purifies himself nor acquires power. He is eternally pure and all-powerful. Therefore, Sridhar Swami has intelligently understood that in this case, the word tapas refers to the illuminating function of the sun and thus indicates that the Lord's self-sufficient body is omniscient. Light is a common symbol of knowledge. The Lord's spiritual effulgence does not merely illuminate physically, as in the case of a candle or light bulb. More importantly, the Lord's body illuminates our consciousness with perfect knowledge, because the Lord's effulgence is itself perfect knowledge. We offer our respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of Srila Sridhar Swami and thank him for his enlightening comment on this verse. Om Jnana Timarandasya Gyanam Janashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. King Indra said, your transcendental form, a manifestation of pure goodness, is undisturbed by change, shining with knowledge, devoid of passion and ignorance. In you does not exist the mighty flow of the modes of material nature, which is based on illusion and ignorance. So we're hearing in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the very beginning of Bhagavatam, that janmadyasyaya tonvayaditaratarshchateshu vigyaswarat, Krishna is explaining that everything comes from Krishna. He is the source of everything, and how these strong modes of material nature are bewildering all the conditioned souls in this world. All the demigods are also bewildered. We sometimes, of course, there's opportunity to worship, like they were doing the worship of Indra. There's worship of Lord Shiva. There's worship of Surya and different demigods for different things that we want. The reason why we came to this material world is because we want something. And the original relationship that Krishna has, of course, whatever Krishna has, we're reflecting, just like a little small piece of gold it has the same qualities as the gold mine, or a drop of water has the same quality as the ocean. So Krishna has love, and that love is being expressed in the form of his expansion as Srimati Radharani, as Balaram, Krishna and Balaram, as the cowherd boys, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj. Although this is a very accelerated process, because it says after many, many lifetimes of speculative knowledge, if we didn't have Prabhupada's shining light of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the authority of the Guru Parampara, just as we are praising the six Goswamis, because they renounced everything that everyone is looking for, wealth, reputation, beauty, followers, enjoyment of this material world, but it's all temporary. But still, because of the power and influence of the modes of material nature, this illusion covers our true spiritual nature, our spiritual swarup, our true identity. And then we think that, oh, so much philosophy, you know, it becomes too difficult to comprehend, so much philosophical, even though it may be very much to the point. But that love that Krishna is exhibiting, we all are also looking for that love. We also want to find someone who loves me in return, isn't it? You don't want to think that, you know, if somebody really, cares for you, you feel connected. And so, in a very fast track, Krishna personally appeared. He appears again and again in the various incarnations, according to time, place, and circumstance, according to the devotees' want to be with Krishna. Krishna's reciprocating with those devotees. And at the same time, he's adjusting the climate of the demonic persons who are self-interested without really representing God, like a king or a Rajarshi. He is supposed to represent the Supreme Lord. So Krishna, 5,000 years ago, came and wanted to establish Yudhishthira Maharaj on the kingdom because people were not feeling the happiness or the guidance. And the whole Vedic culture is because we're in the prison house of Durga, we're in the prison house of Tamoguna, Rajoguna, Sattvaguna. These modes of nature are controlled by Krishna. Krishna's not controlled. He's in pure goodness, Vishuddha Sattva. Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Krishna, he is the controller of material nature. And Mother Nature is working in correspondence according to our desires to enjoy in this world. We have a certain kind of mindset, certain kind of mentality, gives us the intelligence how to pursue our desires, how to execute so that I will become very wealthy, so that actually I can have a nice situation. And the illusion of this material existence, just like all the demonic persons like Ravana or Kamsa, we're hearing here, how they're wanting to control and enjoy. And even Hiranyakashipu wanted to live forever in this world. But the nature of the soul is Najayate Mriyate Vakadachin. Najayate does not take birth. Krishna never takes birth. Just like the sunshine, it rises from the east. We say, it's coming from the eastern horizon. So repeatedly Krishna appears in different dynasties. This time he appeared in the Yadu dynasty. So he's glorifying his devotees and his followers. And he's setting this example of what it means to actually get free of the modes of material nature and have spontaneous love. Like Mother Kunti was praying or appreciating, how is it as a child you're acting naughty, Mother Yashoda is chastising you with stick in hand, and Krishna says, yes, I am offender, Mother. He's crying. When death personified is afraid of Krishna, Yamaraj is afraid of Krishna. All the demigods are afraid of Krishna. Afraid in the sense that he's the most powerful, the controller, the supreme being. How is it he's become a little child performing activities which are very attractive to the residents of Vrindavan? But also all the residents of Vrindavan are not ordinary conditioned souls. They come to assist Krishna in his leela. And although we may not understand, you know, it appears that he's performing ordinary activities. He's afraid of Mother Yashoda. He sometimes loses in the sporting events with his friends. He has to carry his friends on his shoulder. And sometimes, even with, we hear about the gopis and the love of Srimati Radharani. But then, how is it that they become proud that, we're with Krishna, the Supreme Person, seeing him face to face, and then Krishna sometimes disappears and increases that love, and they chastise Krishna and become angry at him. And then again, he reunites. So in many ways, Krishna is attracting us, wanting us to naturally awaken our love for him, whether performing some austerities. Of course, Prabhupada says that Everything is very pleasurable. The Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idamutamam Prakyashavam Ganam Dharmam Shushukam Kartumavyam. This is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting, is joyfully performed. And this Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam are incarnations of the Lord. Actually, by hearing the words of Krishna, we're associating with Krishna. By hearing about the residents of Vrindavan and their loving feelings towards Krishna, we're getting a sense of what it means. We can't just artificially say, okay, from now on I have no other desires than just to love and serve Krishna. We've been ingrained, conditioned by the modes of material nature, and we're accustomed to taking birth. Maybe one who is an advanced spirit soul, while in the womb, suffering intense inconvenience, as Prabhupada said, imagine being packed in a bag. You can't move, you can't really do anything, and there's so much suffering involved. So an advanced soul prays to Krishna. Indra here is praying to Krishna that I was such a fool, I did so much rascaldom that I offended you, and I was bewildered. But in one sense, Krishna, he arranged everything to show Indra that just because you have a post of the King of Heaven and you can wield a thunderbolt, break the mountains, and people are all worshiping and respecting you, and then because you didn't get what you wanted, you thought, let me chastise these foolish residents of Vrindavan who are following this talkative young boy, Krishna. Although he knows, but Krishna is always covering our intelligence, not because out of malicious intent. It's like we want something, and Krishna, being our father, our mother, our provider, our everything, he's created everything. Krishna was never born. We were never born. We're not going to die. But temporarily, we're embodied in these bodies. And we'll continue this cycle of repeated birth and death in this material world, performing all kinds of activities in the name of so-called, today, this religion or that religion, this body or that body. But now, in the human form of life, we have a great opportunity to hear the prayers. We've been hearing prayers throughout the whole 10th canto. The prayers of the Nagapatnis about Kaliya, Kaliya's prayers, the prayers of the Brahmana's wives, the Brahmanas foolishly condemning themselves for why we're so attached to rituals and sacrifices and ceremonial activities, where our wives, who are not even born in a high family or perform any kind of austerities, didn't undergo any rituals, but they're having spontaneous love for Krishna. So they condemn themselves to hell with our vows and our austerities. And we can't take that out of proportion, but the meaning that the preliminary rituals in our so-called religion is specifically meant to help awaken our love for Krishna. So if our love for Krishna is not being awakened, then we're killing ourselves. Atmaha. It's called suicide. Because those who are turning a blind eye to the logic, reason, philosophy, history, and authority of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, the Vedic literature, is meant to awaken our original consciousness. Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das, that we're eternal servants of Krishna, nothing else. Although we have mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives and children, in identification with our, you know, upbringing, our place of birth, our childhood, and thinking in a very limited temporary way. I mean, some religion just came about a couple thousand years ago. What about 5,000 years ago? 10,000, 100,000, millions of years ago? The Vedic literature, Vedavyas, all the great acharyas are giving us the philosophical understanding. and again, with past times, we're hearing how Krishna appears and how all these demons are coming and Krishna's killing Putana. It's like the cowherd boys would go out with Krishna every day. Krishna would play his flute, and immediately everyone's mind becomes mesmerized, not only the cowherd boys, but all the gopis and even the trees and plants, the creepers. Everything becomes totally mesmerized by the flute playing of Krishna. And his flute playing is so bewildering that Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are mystified by the musical arrangement of Krishna. Because Krishna, he's just very, very powerful, and he's always smiling. He's always happy. Even when Indra's begging for relief of the sins or the mischief that he caused by even trying to kill the inhabitants of Vrindavan, what to speak of the cows. But Krishna's showing, no matter the greatest of demigods or however anybody who's ever powerful, you take shelter of me, I will protect you. Whenever there was a forest fire, Krishna, Krishna, do not worry, do not worry. So Krishna immediately alleviates the problem. Nanda Maharaj is being eaten by a serpent. Krishna, Krishna. So Krishna comes and relieves the serpent of his, it was a Vidyadhara, right? You know, he was, so there's so many dangers in this material world. We always find ourselves in a dangerous situation, but we're learning by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna's inspiration to spread this Krishna consciousness movement in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again and again, the parent is relentless. There's no love like the mother's love for the child. You know, sometimes walking for the Mangal Arctic, I hear little children crying on the side of the road, but then still the mother, they're still taking care, trying to nurture. So Krishna has this intense love. It's ingrained, it's built in. Krishna loves every one of us. We might feel insignificant. We are insignificant. Indra thought himself to be insignificant. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami thought himself to be insignificant. Prabhupada said that Krishna doesn't like his devotee to become proud of their service, that, oh, I'm rendering such nice service now. Who can excel me in this service? But we should actually appreciate and see that everyone is serving Krishna. And if we can be instrumental to please the Lord, we have to know what is actually the Lord looking or want. Krishna wants that everyone come back home, come back to the spiritual world. And Krishna's ordering everyone, Jare dako tare kaho Krishna upadesh, amara gai guru hoi tare desh. So we have our book marathons, we have our enthusiasm for preaching. Prabhupada said, who at 70 years old goes out of their home and crosses an ocean, a huge ocean? Prabhupada's describing how this big boat, the Jaladuta, you know, such a big, but he said when you go high up and you see a tiny little speck in the middle of this huge ocean, and the danger at any moment could be devoured. So taking risk, heart attacks, so much. We all heard the austerities that were performed by Srila Prabhupada in order to fulfill the mission of his spiritual master and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's ordering everyone. Everyone has to have a duty. And that duty is, yes, chant Hare Krishna, be happy. But also, Prahlad Maharaj was expressing his feeling of discomfort for the suffering of other living entities, Vasudev Datta, other exemplary Mahabhagavat. You think, oh, I'm just insignificant, what can I do? Yes, Krishna, he'll empower us. He'll give us the ability, whatever little bit of energy we can muster up, Krishna will enhance and give us the intelligence how to move forward. So Indra was saying that you're not affected by this mighty flow of the modes of material nature. So why do the modes of material nature affect us so? You know, what is this passion? You know, it's a desire to achieve something. I want to become wealthy. I want to become you know, I have this person I want to enjoy. Somehow or other, we want to exhibit or express ourselves to fulfill our desires. But our desires in this material world cannot be fulfilled because it's all a temporary illusion. Just like seeing water in the desert or land on the water of the ocean. So take advantage of this great opportunity that Srila Prabhupada, he underwent great austerity and suffering, but not transcendental suffering, just like we're seeing the gopis are saying that, Krishna, if you don't come back due to separation, we're going to die, and you'll be responsible for our death. And you're free to do whatever you like. And, you know, they're chastising like this. And it appears that though the devotees are also suffering because of separation of Krishna. They're feeling, when can I get free of this harassment? The acharyas in their songs are saying repeatedly, my mind and senses have been dedicated to gratifying the desires and pushings by the modes of material nature. I'm sleeping in this ignorance, sleeping, jeev jago, gaura chandra bole. Lord Chaitanya is calling us, and we have a window of opportunity to take up this chanting of Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very powerful sound vibration. We may not know how the medicine is working, but understand it is a topmost prayer calling out for Krishna, the Supreme Person, Balaram, the Supreme Person, Srimati Radharani, the Supreme Person. They're all, and we're all one, but with individuality, the Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. And so we are also calling out to Krishna by chanting Krishna's holy name and by sharing these transcendental literatures, because Krishna's incarnated in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna's incarnated in the form of Bhagavad Gita. So when we're going and giving these books, Prabhupada says, just by touching the book, just by meeting a devotee, one's life has become very, very pious or very beneficial. So we should not underestimate, not that we have power, that we have such great potency, that Prabhupada said, what is your 10-minute, you know, talk going to do? Just give the books. Of course, we also preach. We just, not preach, but we repeat the words of Krishna. This is a devotee. We simply want to follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They're not thinking, oh, Krishna, in a majestic way, offering various prayers. You are the supreme Brahman, you know, you are the Paramatma, the creator of everything above the modes of material nature. They're thinking, Krishna's my friend. Krishna's my son. Krishna's my lover. Krishna's my everything. And that mood comes about, the Brijabasi mood, not in an artificial way, just jumping towards that, but we have to follow the strict discipline of sadhana bhakti, because the sadhana bhakti will help us strengthen. If you try to build your home without a foundation, what happens? It crumbles. You wasted all that time and energy with all those bricks, but you had no foundation. So our foundation in Krishna consciousness is the instruction of Srila Prabhupada, how to get free of the modes of material nature by regularly and very enthusiastically chanting the holy names, by hearing daily Nityang Bhagavata Sevaya, not thinking that, oh, I've heard that before. No need to hear it. I could do something else. Every day, this is the order of Guru. So the order has power behind it. So if we're coming to see the Mangal Arati, you can see the beautiful forms of the Lord, worshipping Tulsi Devi in Sri Vrindavan Dham, in the association of devotees, and enthusiastically chanting, begging for strength to overcome the urges of the body and mind, and try to get free of the false ego. And it's not that easy, because we're all, like I said, have been identifying with the bodily concept for many, many lifetimes. Not only this lifetime, but life after life. So we're thinking, I'll grow old, I die, and then again we're packed into the womb. And we don't know where we're going to end up, although one who performs good is not overcome by evil. But we don't want to have the risk of ending, I mean, even going to Indra Loka or Brahma Loka, where there's long duration of life and so much opulence is available. It's still, fear of death is there. But we're eternal, so it's not compatible. We want that eternal life of serving Krishna. And that eternal life is made available by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not only eternal life or going to Vaikuntha, but going to Goloka, Goloka Vrindavan, such an opportunity to go to the highest spiritual planet where life is eternal, where our true identity and happiness is fully manifested and blossomed, and we're not restricted by the control of the mind, the urges of the senses, and by foolishly acting as Indra foolishly acted. And still, even though he had such a heavy lesson in private, he humbly, in an embarrassed mode, apologized. And Krishna said, okay, you go back. But then again, later on in Krishna Leela, the Parijata tree is taken from the heavenly planets, and Indra again becomes envious and wants to fight with Krishna. So no matter how many times we feel, I'm enlightened, but again, the modes of nature cover us, so we become arrogant and puffed up and think that, Krishna, why do I need to surrender? You know, I don't need to surrender. But that surrender to Guru, that surrender is the mood of submission that Indra was exhibiting here. So we have to actually have that mood of surrender to our spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's instructions. He's the Jagat Guru. His teachings, at least the next 10,000 years, are going to be the shining light of guidance back home, back to the spiritual kingdom. If you're in darkness, it's very painful. You don't know what dangers lie ahead. But when there's light, you feel reassured and you feel confident to move forward. So we should have our confidence in Srila Prabhupada and stay close. Sometimes I bring my friend Radha Balava here for the morning program. He can't see. If I'm holding his hand, then he can move faster because he feels guided. So Prabhupada's holding our hand. You know, we should take shelter of following, knowing his instructions and executing his will by distributing books, preaching, and chanting the Lord's holy name. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anyone have any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhuji, long time you haven't asked a question.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, as you gave the example of Indra, he prayed again, he was envious of Krishna. Similar way, sometimes we pray to the Lord and we are envious and then we do offenses again and again. So what is the remedy for that one?
Chanting Hare Krishna very enthusiastically. Stay in the association of devotees, because sometimes we feel inconvenienced when when we see our own faults. We don't want to see our own faults and see our own shortcomings. But by staying in the association of devotees, and devotees means those who are following Prabhupada and Prabhupada's teaching, because there's a lot of distractions in this world. We can get caught up on philanthropic ideas that, you know, we want to save all the dogs or all the eagles, or maybe, you know, of course we want to save the cows from, and then also there are many bad people, save the children from the bad people, which is necessary and important. But the thing is, we can sometimes get caught up at the influence of the modes of material nature on individuals and identify that as, oh, this is ISKCON. No. Real ISKCON is Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada's teachings. Now, those who are following and in the association of devotees will have more of an opportunity to actually be properly guided. But if we choose to associate with those who are not inclined towards hearing, chanting, and following, not that we'll become callous or neglectful, we still have to do our duties, but most importantly, that we chant the Lord's name and hear the Bhagavatam in the society of devotees. It'll help us stay clear as to the goal of our life. Any other question? Yes. Mataji?
Hare Krishna, thank you for a wonderful class. Sometimes we are put in a difficult situation and we have to learn how to appreciate the mercy of the Lord. Right? Queen Kunti would pray for calamities. And so how we can see in full conviction that whatever happens to us, whether it's positive or negative, is for our own benefit.
So sometimes we're put in difficult situations. How do we know? Or how do we adjust to accepting it is ultimately good for us? Krishna says, Yeyata mang prapajate tang stataiva bhajamyaham. I reciprocate with my devotees' love and surrender to me. And although one may be thinking in their mind, if only I had enough money, I could take care of my responsibilities and then things would be good. But why is Krishna putting me in such a difficult situation? Krishna is really, he's just reciprocating according to our desires. And sometimes it may appear as though, oh, I find myself in a very awkward, difficult situation, and it's really causing me to not advance in my Krishna consciousness. And Kunti, Mother Kunti, Queen Kunti, was praying, not praying for difficulties, but she's, well, okay, let the difficulties come because it's going to force me, or you're there for us, you're our shelter, even the Govardhan Leela, all the inhabitants, the animals, the cows, everyone was fearful because of the wrath of Indra. And Krishna said, don't worry, come. And he exhibited his mystic powers. So you think, well, when's he going to exhibit his mystic powers for me and relieve me of my suffering? So obviously we can't determine that my situation is very, very extreme and too difficult to handle. And so I should leave Krishna. But we have no choice. Under difficulty, good times or bad times, we have to just stay shelter of Prabhupada and Krishna's lotus feet. Because even though sometimes the pressure is very, very difficult, I remember being on Sankirtan, book distribution in particular, police are harassing, mind is not in the right order, people are harassing, hey, get out of here, you parasite, or, you know, why are you bothering people? Useless person, you know, and you think no one's cooperating, no one's taking, but then somehow, you know, that somehow the clouds disperse, the sunshine comes through, the police no longer are harassing you, and then anybody and everyone you speak to reciprocates and takes a book, and you think, how did that happen? So we have to have faith, we have to have conviction that Krishna is in our heart, he understands our inner intentions, he understands our desires, and he is guiding us if we're desiring that in the proper way. So always we should just stay at the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's guidance and the association of devotees. One last question.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, you gave example of like in book distribution. So we, with the Lord's intelligence and our skills, we sometimes put efforts and we get some results, like as you said. At that time, we feel some satisfaction. Oh, we did it. So is that a pride? Because we need some enthusiasm also. So how to identify that satisfaction and the pride?
Right. Yes, sometimes, and especially in book distribution, oh, I've distributed 50 books, you know, I did good. And we start thinking ourselves to be very intelligent or competent, charismatic, people really like me, you know. And course, is not the proper mentality. We could be proud of being servants of Krishna. We're proud of Prabhupada. We're proud of Krishna. To that extent, the pride is, in one sense, in a good frame. But if we think that due to my, you know, powerful nature, my brilliant intelligence, people are, you know, are mesmerized by me, and you know, I'm very significant. Just like Indra, he was like shining with a helmet and armor, and you know, on his elephant with a thunderbolt and ordering the clouds. So you know, he thought himself very significant. And Krishna, he performed in a very, very graphic and picturesque way of lifting Govardhan Hill and embarrassing him to show that you know, you're insignificant. So by hearing and staying in the association of devotees, and although that pride may rise up, we're hoping that by the transcendental brilliance of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and the advanced Vaishnava's mercy on us, we can get rid of that pride and see that Krishna is the doer. I'm just an instrument. Arjuna, he performed great battle. But then after the battle, some simple coward men defeated him. He had the same bow, the same Arjuna. So Krishna, he's the ability in man. He gives us that ability. And somehow or other, we should, you know, have that dependence on Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.